Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 421 of Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 3, Click Click Zoom.
It aired on February 16th, 2002, is written by Jill Donnellan and directed by Koichi Sakamoto. So one familiar name.
Yeah, another new writer.
Yeah.
That's maybe the most exciting part of Wild Force so far, is that there's so many new writers on the show. But to help us talk about this episode, we have a very special guest on. Cassidy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I can't wait to listen to a parody of my favorite Saliva song.
Right?
I looked it up. That song came out a year before this, so this is absolutely a Saliva reference.
Why?
Oh, man.
Wild Force, that's
Wild Force,
why.
Baby. Cassidy, when we have guests on, we ask them several questions, and here they go. What is your history with Power Rangers?
I mean, much like anyone who was a child during the time, I watched it as a kid. Right. I remember having a birthday cake that had Power Rangers on it.
Nice.
And then because I had younger siblings, there was just a period of time every now and then where I would see some of the toys. They didn't really watch the show much, though, so I sort of fell off of it really, really early.
Yeah. Where you fell off?
The last thing I remember personally owning was like an in-space morpher.
Okay.
Because I remember pressing the buttons and the voice would say the number.
Yeah. 3, 3, 5. That's stuck in my brain forever.
I always think it's 9.
It's never been 9.
No.
I don't think they press 9 once in the show.
I've watched that whole season twice.
Well, the thing I remember about the toy is that there was the flap on it had a list of other numbers that you could press to get different sounds.
Yeah, I don't remember what any of them were, but I knew they were there, and the only one they ever used in the show was Morph.
Yeah.
Well, they pushed up another button to do like a power-up punch.
That was on the separate, that was like a separate Delta Morpher that had right. like three different punch buttons.
Right, on the 3DX. Or 32X or whatever. One of those Sega Genesis attachments. Just several.
So, Cassidy, who is your favorite Ranger? Or I guess, what's your favorite season of Power Rangers then?
In Space.
Good call. It's a classic.
It's pretty good.
It's also one of like the best like told stories in Power Rangers overall. So
it's one of the few seasons of Power Rangers that I remember anything about. Like I remember watching the episode where they first fight the Psycho Rangers and TJ spray paints the Power Ranger action figures blue.
Yeah.
I remember watching that on a DVD several times.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one. It's so weird that he's like, I know. And then he just produces a can of spray paint from nowhere and ruins the toys they made of themselves. So who's your favorite Ranger?
I think mostly just because I started listening to this program and heard most of what happened in Turbo. I think it might be TJ.
Okay.
And then, you know, Wes and Carter are both very good.
They are.
Carter is severely underrated, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
Wes I mostly liked just for when he was goofing around with other Rangers, like on the Movie Madness episode where he's just sitting on the couch with Trip.
Yeah.
Trip, and they just start goofing around and he just pushes him over.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was a really fun dynamic that he brought to Power Rangers, because he was like the only one there who was not on the clock, technically. So he was like able to goof around. And then TJ is just like maybe my favorite Red Ranger.
He's pretty good. He didn't have a lot of time to really shine as a Red Ranger, but
yeah,
he made pretty good use of it, I think.
Yeah. I feel like we have more questions, but I can never remember them.
Well, here's the trick. You could ask me any question.
Okay, here's a question we always ask all of a sudden. Who's your favorite villain?
Ooh, this is a good question that I am horribly unprepared for.
That's the trick. So am I. It can either be villain or, like, monster of the week.
Oh.
But no mooks. They're out.
We draw the line there.
I'm going to go with the Diva Talks.
Nice.
Just the Turbo team in general of villains. I just had a good time with them.
Yeah. Elgar was kind of frustrating, but I do miss him a lot. So I guess he wasn't that bad in retrospect.
We haven't had like a good evil goofball in a while.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other. Josh, you got any questions?
No.
Thanks. Thanks for leaving me out to dry. Embarrassing me in front of our guest.
You also can say no. I'm not going to fire you.
I'm just saying. We're already... Josh, you know we're about to be canceled.
Wild Force going to get us canceled.
Wild Force is going to get us canceled. We're going to be thrown out on our hind ends. So we got to pretend like we know what we're doing. I guess I don't have any other questions either. So if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and it's up to you. The last two episodes have been fair to middling, and we'll see what this next one looks like in just a couple minutes, because we're going to go watch Click Click Zoom right now.
Wild Time!
And we're back, and we just watched Saliva's Click Click Zoom. I watched a music video on YouTube of Click Click Boom. What did you guys watch?
A pretty bad episode of Power Ranger, I would say.
Yeah, I stopped about halfway through to just go watch a Pokemon Snap long play.
Yeah. Honestly, I think you had the right idea, because I watched this whole episode, and it was not... It just kept getting dumber. That's not just me, right? Like, every time I was like, this is as dumb as it's going to get, they were like, aha, you are wrong, though.
Once they revealed what the monster's power was, I was like, this is the worst power for a monster to have, actually.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah. I love the monster in this one. It's everything else in it.
Oh, no, the monster's great, but their power is a terrible idea for a power.
It makes no sense. Like, the more they talk about it, it makes no sense. But it is absolutely counterproductive for you to be able to turn your enemies invisible.
Exactly.
There's more to it than that, though.
We'll talk about it. But first, heyjakeandjosh.com. That's our website. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @morphingrid. We are on Honeycrisp Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Stitcher and Podknife and Podbean and Podbay and Pod Zoom. and it's podcast, but it comes with pictures.
Yep. And we're on Click Click Cast. We're in two clicks and you're recording live for everyone to hear.
Yep. It's live to tape, no editing, which would be a terrible idea for us. you just get right to it. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh, for as little as a dollar a month. You get some cool stuff in return. You get early episodes and the Patreon-exclusive Hey Jake and Josh podcast, which by the time this goes live, the new episode should definitely be up, because I was going to wait until after the Morphies, and then a week came and went, and then that's today when we're recording this, and I still haven't edited it yet. So by the time this goes up, there will be a new episode of that, where you can hear us talk about how much I don't like Darren Lynn Bousman. And a lot of other stuff. I don't remember any of it except for
more.
And yeah. What did we start talking about?
We started talking
Legend of Hidden Temple movie.
Yes. We made it all the way to Saw.
Somehow, someway. Life finds a way. So we have a guest, so we're not gonna do any of our regular intro stuff, but we normally do that on Friday shows now, right? God, it's been so long since we've done this show regularly. I cannot remember anything.
Well, I think last time we said we would do it this season, so we have 37 more episodes to get it done.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So, that's fine.
Next episode, we'll take care of all that stuff. I do want to, one correction. The review we read last time was not from Morpheus. His was on Canadian iTunes, and I do not know how to access those, so I'm looking into it. And because who knows how many foreign reviews we have that we just never saw.
If you left a foreign review and we haven't read it, just take a screen cap and send it to us.
Just like, email it to us.
That we will do that.
If you're very ambitious, take a screen cap of all of the foreign ones that you see and send them to us, and we'll just take care of it all at once. So are you ready to jump in? You all ready?
I guess.
Yeah.
We start off on the theme song. I'm probably going to stop saying that because I think that's just how the show is now. Is it?
Yeah, I skipped it again. So
I didn't because I had chicky nugs that I needed to eat. So I took that time to eat a couple chicky nugs.
I let it play. I've learned that I think the chorus of the song is much better than the rest of it.
Yes, completely agree. The chorus is really good and then it tricks me into thinking the rest of the song is until I hear it. Though the last episode has not aired yet, so Cassidy, you do not know the cool fun song that I do during the theme song, where it's just Wild Force is a tiger, Wild Force is a lion, and just that with every animal I can think of until it changes to the worst part of the chorus or the verses. Anyway, we start off on Master Org, and he still looks dumb. I'm just never gonna take this guy seriously, I don't think.
No, I don't think so, because I don't like jumping ahead, but we do get a flashback later in the episode, and he looks the same, so I think this is just what we're stuck with.
Yeah. Also, he's doing that, like, villain speech to the masses that they do at the end of the season to, like, here's all the mooks and all the monsters left. He's doing that, but to two people, and it is 0% effective. he's like, humans have destroyed the Earth, and now we're gonna rise up and rule forever! He's got, like, spit accumulating in the corner of his mouth, which is really not good to look at.
He really is a monster.
He's, like, wet looking.
He looks wet.
He's got wet mouth corners.
He looks clammy. Like, he just is always clammy.
I feel like this has come up before, but I definitely had a professor in college that would get little spit pockets in the corner of his mouth, and it was so distracting that I almost failed his class.
That's bad.
It's just
that's real distracting.
It's so gross.
Do you remember what class? You want to put him on blast?
It was one of the broadcasting ones, like a broadcasting history class or something. So I also slept in it sometimes.
Ah.
So it wasn't entirely his spit pockets, but they did contribute.
So it's a little bit that, but also definitely you.
Yeah, and his whole class was him reading PowerPoint presentations. You know, like a fun class.
Josh, you went to a community college. I don't know what to tell you.
I had fun teachers in community college.
Well, you had one PowerPoint teacher. I don't know. My college was, I feel like, the opposite of a community college, but not in a good way. it was just a weird carny film school. Anyway, so he's like, we're going to rule the world forever. And then Toxica and Iggy, what's his name?
Jindrax.
Mark Jindrax, right. they're like, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so what's, like, their plan?
To take over the world.
Yes, but they're like, yes, humans have ruined the world. Now we're also going to ruin the world.
Right? I think it, and this is just complete speculation, I think it is sort of a Pacific Rim situation where we have ruined the Earth enough that now the orgs can thrive again. Because it's not clean. Or, like, that, you know, there's no oxygen left and all the oceans are plastic now and all that stuff.
Just like the orgs like it.
Just like how they like it, because they are made of barbed wire and cameras and and stuff.
And pogs.
Oh, Pogman would be pretty cool.
Everybody's pogs are in the ocean.
Well, I mean, they're made of cardboard, right? So they...
No, that's true.
They definitely dissolve.
Unless you put them
now.
In those plastic tubes.
Someone's sitting on a gold mine somewhere. So we cut back up to the Animarium. Before then, Toxica and Jindrax go out and they're like, yeah, that was Master Org. And Toxica's like, I don't know, he's being really weird, right? And Jindrax is like, shut up. Don't worry about it. I don't know what this is.
I don't know. They're setting up something like he's not acting right.
But, like, he's acting like monsters do, so I don't see the problem.
Yeah, he's just posturing like a big bad does.
Yeah, it's unclear.
Because it seems like Toxica's like, there's something off about him. He's not being evil enough, but he is. But maybe he used to not be as evil, but then we see a flashback where he was evil. So,
or maybe he used to, like, do stuff instead of walk around and ramble all day.
Instead of just talk to the walls, I guess.
Because they leave and they're like, we need to go find an org because this guy's just
he's not going to get anything done.
He's pacing in his room overthinking life, I guess.
So we cut up to the animarium where Alyssa's studying and Danny's gardening and Max is there and I don't remember what Max is doing. But Taylor's like looking around for something and she's like, where's the rule book? I can't find the rule book. And then
I immediately got mad that there was a rule book, but they did flip it and made it fine. But for the next like 2.5 minutes, I was like, why is there who wrote this? Shayla? Did Princess Shayla write a rule book? I doubt it.
No.
I mean, like Zordon had a rule book. It just wasn't written down.
That's true.
Zordon had a rule bulleted list.
Or he had a rule book, and when he got 5 teenagers with attitude, he realized it wouldn't be worth it. It was you figure it out yourself.
When you get 5 teenagers with attitude, you got to throw out the rule book.
You got to throw the rule book out the window. Just got to pants it, baby. So she finds it because Cole's reading it. And she goes, oh, good, you're reading the rule book. And he goes, yeah, too many rules.
I'm surprised it was not upside down in his hands.
So I guess we can assume that Cole knows how to read. So they taught him how to read English in the jungle. Okay. I'm trying to get a piece of picture together of what life was like in the jungle that he lived in.
It's this weird, primitive, modern...
I feel like he lived in the Bermuda Triangle. And it's just like anyone who ever got lost anywhere just ended up here. And that's why they were all different. And it was like a very diverse group of people living in the jungle because like they all just like got lost and found their way here. Maybe we'll never know. So there's too many rules. And Cole says, we only need one rule, teamwork. Now that I don't think is a rule as much as it is like a like the spirit of a thing, right?
No, you better work together or you're fired.
So let's talk about Cole's one rule. He thinks, because he's the new leader, so he gets to make the rules now.
Yeah, I hate that too.
I'm just so mad. I'm immediately so mad.
Just let Taylor stay the leader.
She was doing a good job and has the experience and isn't an idiot. But he's like, here's how we use teamwork. We got Danny's strength. And Danny, I do not like Danny. I think he's too dumb. Maybe he'll get better. But I feel like they maybe meant to cast a 5-year-old and didn't. And
well, no, they learned their lesson with Justin and they were like, oh, we can't do that again.
It's just, it's really weird. He just seems too baby to me. I just can't get my head around it quite yet. And he's like, and then Alyssa's smart. And then Max is like, good looks. And Taylor like stares a dagger at him. And he's like, and quick thinking, I meant.
Taylor could kick all their asses.
I think so.
And I really think she should.
Yeah, just get them in line.
Yeah.
Except Alyssa. Alyssa's fine.
Alyssa's good.
Beat up everybody else. And
that was his name. Danny. Danny seemed like he was all right, too. He's been following orders.
Yeah, I think he's a good Power Ranger. I think as a character, he's baby.
Yeah.
And that gets old quick, as we learned last season.
He's a big, strong baby.
He's a big, strong baby man. I do like that Cole did not say what his part in the teamwork is. Unless he did and I missed it.
I didn't hear it.
It's Red Ranger. His part is Red Ranger.
My part is red.
You're welcome.
He also doesn't say Taylor's part in it because he knows that her part is being the leader and that's supposed to be his part now. Taylor gets mad and leaves. And they're like, why are you mad? Just because you're being completely replaced by someone entirely not suited or capable of this job. So she leaves and Princess Shayla's like, well, she did write the rules.
And then it was redeemed. I was like, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a mystical instruction manual in the Zord's glove compartment.
I think that's fine. I don't know. Because in the kayfabe, Billy made the Turbo Zords.
That's
true. They just
true.
Didn't say it. And Billy put a little manual in so Tommy would know how to use
it. Tommy's dumbass could figure out how it worked.
But what I don't like about this is that Shayla's like, she wrote the rules because she was the only Power Ranger.
She got here first.
Yeah.
So it was not like a team casually being replaced until none of the original band members are around.
Yeah. It was just Taylor as a Kamen Rider. She was like an Eagle Rider for 6 months.
I need to pose this question. Why is the first chosen not the leader?
Because they're not red.
You see, Josh.
Yeah, well why not? Why?
Because the lion's very picky.
He picked... Okay, we're going to talk about how picky the lion is in a minute.
Yo, fuck that lion.
Because it is dumb. The way that Power Rangers are chosen in this is makes sense until you think about the lion. And then I get a little mad. So she's like, she was the only ranger. So she wrote the rules. And it worked for an entire year. Because before Colgott, everyone read the rules and was like, here's how we do Power Ranging, and it's fine. And then Colgottier goes, too many rules. I can't do a job.
I'm your new manager.
It's me, Leo. I just got out of college,
and I run the store now.
Oh, no.
I think you hate Cole because he's Tim.
I hate Cole because he sucks.
So then she says that Princess Shayla says that Taylor helped her when she got here from her world? Big question mark?
Okay, this could be useful because I have a pitch to come up later.
Okay, good.
Well, I'm going to say her world is more metaphorical than literal. Like, Cole's world is the jungle.
Yeah, but and Power Taylor, Rangers Taylor's has other planets and dimensions and stuff.
Taylor's world is probably, like, business management and fighting.
I mean, yeah, she would definitely manage a series of very successful karate academies, probably.
Either that or all of them are aliens from different planets.
I mean, it would explain why Danny is so strong, but also so baby.
But then why are they selected by, like, Earth Guardians?
Because it's a different world, Josh. They also come from that different world. That world is the ground of 3,000 years ago, as we'll find out.
Hey, I'm getting a lot of Terra Venture vibes coming my way.
Why, Animarium?
Oh, boy.
It's my big question. So then we cut down to Taylor, who's like, kind of, she's like walking it off, right? She's like mad and she has to go get a milkshake. And. she's going, that's a very inside joke, because when I get upset, sometimes I walk and go get a milkshake. Specifically when Daniel Bryan retired, I literally left Josh's house and went to Dairy Queen because I was so sad. So she's walking down the boardwalk, like it's next to the lake / ocean or whatever, and she walks by a mom and her son, and the son, who is a child actor.
It's before this, I think, that Cole asks Princess Shayla to tell him about Animaria or whatever.
Right.
And then it cuts to Taylor finding the mom and the son, and they start to read like a little golden book about it. And I'm like, why?
Why Animaria?
Please, mommy, tell me about Animaria.
Why this book? Why not just have Shayla explain the history of where she came from?
Because then Taylor couldn't also hear it down on Earth.
But she knows it!
But she needs to think about it to calm down.
Yeah, she needs to get used to the idea that she's being replaced by a guy who sucks.
Well, wouldn't just being by the baby enough to think about it, since it's where the Animarium came from in the first place?
I mean, I think so. So the woman starts telling the story, and then that intercuts with Shayla telling the story. And basically, 3,000 years ago, this very month, they lived in harmony with everything, with the plants and the animals and the big Zords. Everyone lived in harmony 3,000 years ago, and everything was cool, and people loved nature and didn't pollute and recycled, I guess. And then up from a mud pit came Master Org.
I guess one guy dropped a soda can on the ground, and it made this mud pit.
Yeah, like, she said he came from beneath the earth, which is, like, in Sailor Moon terms, like, that's where the bad guys come from, right? It's, like, deep underground, because they're rocks or whatever. But, like, I don't understand what his deal is. Like, is he like supposed to be like pollution? Is he like Captain Pollution to their Captain Planet?
No, I think they're just yucky.
Okay, but like that's part of sometimes nature yucky.
Yeah, but they don't want kids to think that.
But like bat poop is yucky, right? And like, there's a whole movie about that. It's called Ace Ventura 2. I'm sure there's other stuff in it, but nobody remembers. What happened? Oh, there was a weird thing that happened with when I was watching, and that as it pans down, I don't know if either of you had this.
I did. I know exactly down, what you're about to say.
The scan lines were out of sync.
Oh, yeah. It was real bad.
Did you see that, Cassidy?
I may have been taking a note because this is about where I had the idea of, hey, wait, what if this is a prequel to Lost Galaxy?
Okay. Go on.
So where did the Galactabuddies come from?
Are they animariums?
That's true. We didn't just, when we first met them, they were in cages. We don't know where they were before
that. Yeah.
And there's very clearly just like a bunch of different animal zords here. More than five.
Yeah. That makes sense. And they were like organic to start with. So that means that they are probably like the outcasts of Animarium. It's like, oh, you're robots all the time? Or you're not robots all the time? Gross.
Which should be the opposite.
That or they just got like a bunch of org gunk on them in 4,000 to 5,000, however long it takes place between this and Lost Galaxy.
Yeah. Maybe. I think that makes more sense than we just picked up somewhere and made it a spaceship.
And now there's just a big crater left on Earth where Terra Venture took off.
But there's two then, right? Because one of them is like the Animarium definitely made a crater. Like it had to have.
Oh, it did. We see that in this episode.
Oh, did we see the crater? I guess I must have looked down.
Yeah, well, it's just like a big turtle-shaped lake that cities developed around.
That's why it's Turtle Bay.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Because you said last time that like it looks like a big turtle, and I was like, oh, I didn't notice. And this time I like paused when we saw it. I was like, oh, this is a big turtle. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It is called Turtle Cove because there's a big cove shaped like a turtle. I guess somebody was paying attention.
Yeah, that's the best part of Wild Force so far.
is that the lore kind of lines up? So anyway, there's some weird scan lines, and it was like a little nauseating. It was only like 3 seconds of it, but I was like, oh, I feel dizzy.
It made my eyes water.
So then up from the gunk comes Master Org, and he looks just like he does now, dressed in a bunch of towel shrapnel. It looks like he has a 1,000 breasted coat.
Yeah.
Like that's his coat. It's just, it has a lot. How do you get into it? Where's the real fold?
Very, very carefully.
From underneath, I guess.
Yeah.
You just grow inside of it.
It's put on you when you're very little. Or maybe they dropped his ugly coat in the mud, and then that made poison, and then he came out of that. Because they say that he came up and started spreading his toxins, which I hate to break it to Wild Force, but toxins occur naturally in nature, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the visual for this is vines.
Yep. I got nothing.
They're very invasive vines.
I mean, maybe if he was made of kudzu, then I would understand. But it's just like regular vines. It's the beanstalks that Toxica shoots out. It's basically just that. Which makes, again, zero sense. But anyway, so then all the nutties are there. Oh, by the way, Cassidy, we've determined that the mooks are called nutties because number one, the season's a little porny. And number two, they called them putrids. And then I called them nasty putties. And then Josh called them nutties. And we're already probably going to get canceled out of the season anyway. So we're in for a penny, in for a pound on this one. So it's them versus five ancient warriors. Her protector.
Five ancient warriors.
Yes.
Keep that number in mind.
Why? Five ancient warriors with five swords. And then there's one other guy who's just there too. He's her special protector.
How come the five ancient warriors are not Power Rangers?
Yeah, they're just like crusaders, but also ninjas.
Yeah, exactly. They are exactly crusader ninjas. That's what I wrote down too. I don't know. My only guess is that they didn't want kids to think that it was happening now. Right. You know, like they didn't want to confuse kids.
That might be accurate.
It would have been nice if they were still color-coded.
That is also true. I was looking for, like, maybe their headbands are different colors, or maybe their gloves, or they got a little pocket square that's a red to tell you who the red one is. Nope, they're just all the same outfit, as far as I could tell.
One of the Crusaders has a headband.
Oh, Cole. A lot of choices went into you. So then she says that her protector whisked her away to the Valley of the Zords, which is where all the Zords live.
Yeah.
You know, just like in harmony with the animals and the plants and stuff.
And the waterfall, I guess.
And the big waterfall and the danger pool.
And so he leaves her there, and then she's like, and then I went nap.
I had to take a big nap.
He doesn't like magically put her in like a safe sleep. Because she's like, oh no, when he runs away, and then we cut back to her and she just laid down.
She's sitting on this like bench. It's like a mausoleum, but she's on top of the coffin part of it. And he runs back to go help, and she's like, no. And then faints, I guess, and goes to sleep for 3,000 years. Why?
I don't know.
Look, sometimes you just gotta nap.
Look, I've had a day today where I haven't. The most strenuous thing I did today was vacuum, but I've been tired since I woke up for literally no reason at all. So I get wanting to just sleep for 3,000 years.
Right, but I feel like your daily regimen and the Princess of Earth, as near as I can tell's daily regimen.
She does not call it Earth. She calls it Animaria.
Is the whole world Animaria?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a Garden of Eden.
The planet of Animaria.
The turtle of Animaria.
Because it is Earth. Because
it has to be.
It has to be, because that's how Turtle Cove is Turtle Cove. So anyway, she's like, I took a big nap, and then they beat the orcs. They beat them all. And then they made me go up in the sky, but asleep with all the Zords. And then we awoke when we were needed.
Well, maybe 3,000 years ago. I don't know how that translates in like the real timeline of Earth.
I have no idea. We talked about this on the Scorpion King. We don't know when anything happened.
Let's see, 1000 BCE.
What was going on? Is that when ancient Greece's mythology happened?
It's the start of the Iron Age.
Okay,
so we were
pretty early then, I think.
So we were like coming along. We had probably houses by then.
I think we might have invented a door by then, yeah. Mostly a flap, but...
Because I'm under the impression that, like, the whole world was, like, this nature paradise. Oh,
King Solomon of the ancient Israelites. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, because I was under the impression that, like, the whole world was, like, this paradise. And what got lifted into the sky was the Valley of the Zords.
That's how I understand it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she says immediately after they beat the orcs... So they didn't call her back? They were like, nah, she's fine up there. Her and the Zords are cool, just chilling. On the Animarium, what's left of Eden. It might as well be Eden, right? Yeah.
They need to go back a little farther than 3,000 years, though, for that.
I feel like that. I think that is about 6,000 years in Bible history, but that is not necessarily correct.
Real.
I'm not going to make the Skyward Sword joke that I was going to make because we cut all the Legend of Zelda stuff.
This is kind of Skyloft, isn't it? Anyway, before I get caught up talking about Zelda for two podcasts in a row, I don't want to be Josh from Mortal Kombat about it.
Hey.
So then they woke up later after it was, you know, I guess it got bad again. And so then they woke up, and then that was about a year ago, I think, because they said Taylor started a year ago, and then she was by herself for 6 months, and then it was Max and Alyssa, and then 2 months ago was Danny. I think that's the timeline that was laid out last episode.
I think it was either 2 or 3 months ago for Danny, but yeah, that's pretty much right. And then now Cole is here to fuck everything up.
To save us with his...
He stomps in wearing a Target uniform. It changes all the rules.
Josh, I'm so upset that you said that. I can't believe you.
Does he have khaki pants on? He might have khaki pants on.
I don't know. I'll check next time. If he does, I don't know if I can watch any more of the show. So they all woke up. Her and the Zords woke up, and then the Zords chose all of them a year ago, except Cole, a baby left in the jungle with a picture and his little Zord golf ball. So the lion was like, that baby's going to save us.
He was a baby 1 year ago?
I don't... I'm just telling you what I know.
Wait a second. I missed it. We need to unpack this.
Okay, this is not Earth. This is an alien planet.
Oh, thank God. I don't have to worry about my planet being protected by coal. So not a thousand years ago, in the first episode, let me start over.
Okay.
In episode one, when Cole went to the elder and the elder was like, here are the two things we found next to your body when you were a baby that was left with you. It's a picture of your family, presumably, and the crystal with the lion in it, the little lion golf ball, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was there when he was a baby. So yes. That means that a year ago when they woke up, he was a baby, or lion got up 18 or so years ago and went, that baby's got the right stuff.
Unless. It was passed down in the family since, like, one of the warriors of Animaria. Like, the Triforce.
So it is a Skylot situation.
Did Zelda rip off Wild Force?
I think Wild Force might have ripped off a little Zelda.
Well, I'm talking exclusively about Skyloft, not so much the Triforce stuff.
Okay. I mean, look, it wasn't the best Zelda game. Who's to say? But that makes a lot more sense than the lion going, I like what that baby's bringing to the table.
I'm going to grow him up. He's gonna grow up 18 times faster than a normal human.
And he's going to be so dumb that I'm actually in control.
Well, yeah, he's only 1 year old.
I think this show makes a lot more sense if Cole is a year old.
I agree.
Tommy Pickles rolling in here, too many rules.
A baby's got to do what a baby's got to do, Cassidy.
You thought Danny was baby.
I long for the days when I just thought Danny was baby. But then this is even worse then, because that means that all the other Zords chose them, because that's what they say, like specifically that they chose them, except Cole got here on nepotism.
Yep.
I hate this show so much. And it's only going to get worse because do you remember how the only rule we need is teamwork?
Uh-huh.
Well, hold on to your butts because that gets thrown right out the window.
Oh, wait. I think we also need to reiterate. Whose rule was that?
That is Cole's rule. Yes. Exclusively.
That is
at
his
this
only
point.
Rule.
His one rule is teamwork. We cut back down. As she finishes the story, we cut back down to Taylor. The mom finishes the story, and the kid's like, read it again. And she's like, okay. Or no, he's like, is Animarium real? And she's like, no. There's a giant turtle floating right above our city, but no, that's ridiculous.
Have they ever seen that? It's always like hidden in the clouds.
Maybe it's above the clouds, but then that means it's always cloudy in Turtle Cove?
That's Seattle.
That's suspicious.
It's Seattle.
Do planes not fly there?
Not that high.
Okay.
Maybe it's a spaceship.
Or not that low.
There you go. It's in the upper atmosphere. I don't know how they get up there then. My big fireman pole theory is right out the window.
Oh, they don't know how they get up there either because they never show them getting up there. And Taylor got back down to Earth by walking out of a cave.
Yeah, she walks out and then there's the hole and she can fly down. Everybody else is on their own.
There's like magic portals that take them to random spots of the city.
Yeah. It's like a pneumatic tube system, but magic portals. I actually think Brendan today tweeted that in the visual history that just came out, apparently in the Wild Force section, it says magic is how they get up and down. But that's not in the show, so that's
revisionist history.
Exactly. Like, that's death of the author. Like, I'm still going to wonder how they actually do it until someone tells me in the show.
Shayla lets down a really long rope ladder.
Okay.
Right.
It's just her cool treehouse then.
made of trees.
And the whole time they're climbing down, she's just at the top like, be careful, sweetie.
I packed you a lunch.
She just drops it. I packed you a lunch. You have to catch it.
It's going to taste like it came out of the world's tallest vending machine when you get to it.
That's what happens when you bathe a dirty boy in my house.
In my bed, specifically where I sleep and live. So anyway, Taylor sees this and she smiles and she walks away. And I think we go to commercial and we come back. And then some students are studying. A girl is like telling a guy like, this is a blah, 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 blah. Do the reading. I don't remember what they said. It wasn't important because they get their picture taken. And then they start turning invisible. And I very audibly said, no.
This monster gives people bulk and skull disease.
I wish it was that easy.
I wish I was still there for this one, because the genuine reaction of them starting to disappear, I can only imagine.
When they go invisible, I get visceral flashbacks to Double Invisible, and I don't know if I can take it.
Well, nobody goes double invisible in this.
No, thank
it's
goodness.
Just, it's just the one base invisible.
Yeah, but also it's the plague? They get the consumption when they turn invisible?
Do they? Because they were just like, oh no, we're invisible.
I mean, yes, they were, but everyone not invisible is like acting like they are dying, and they're like, here, have a blanket. And they're like, I'm just invisible.
Well, okay, but just imagine your next door neighbor turned invisible. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. Because only ghosts are invisible.
So, I mean, that is a good point, though, that you would obviously call a doctor
or an EMT. Or the just 911 in general.
It's only been 3 weeks of monsters so far. Well, I guess it's been over a year of monsters now.
Yeah. Taylor, they grab Taylor. They're invisible. And they're like, we need help. You need to help us. You're wearing a Power Rangers outfit.
Did I miss her, like, sensing a monster? Or did she find out about the monster when she came across them invisible?
She heard their screams.
Okay, and she was running over there. Okay, and then she finds them, and then the fountain squirts.
Yeah,
okay.
Fountain doesn't squirt. There's no better way to say it. I don't know what to say. So
splashes.
Taylor's guess, I will help. It's not like a splash. It's like a squirt. I don't know.
What? Well, no, it's not big enough to be like a geyser. So I guess it is just like a little squirt.
It's just a little. It's like a little whatever. Anyway. So Taylor calls Alyssa, and she specifically calls Alyssa because she doesn't want to talk to Cole or Danny or Max, apparently. But she calls Alyssa and is like, there's a monster. I'm going to fight it. And then hangs up. And then Cole grabs the phone from Alyssa. And is like, Taylor, don't go alone.
Again, I'm surprised he wasn't holding it upside down.
Anyway, so then Alyssa's like, she already hung up. She didn't hear it. He goes, no. And then we cut to Taylor, who finds the big cameraman. I was going to call him Flashman, but going to go with cameraman. I think their name is just whatever org anyway.
Yeah, they definitely call him camera org.
So my naming convention is not very clever, it turns out.
They all look like Mega Men's, though.
They do all kind of look like evil masters. So cameraman, photo man? I don't know if that's better.
Click man.
Click man.
Zoom man.
Zoom man.
Zoom man. A little tricky with the two M's bumping up.
That's fair.
Zoomin. He's anybody here watch the movie Zoom with Tim Allen?
Nope.
And Courtney Cox?
Maybe.
It's a superhero movie where he used to be a speedster and now his powers are waning, so he needs to teach the next generation of superhero kids, and it's bad, as you might imagine.
Isn't Tim Allen also in Sky High?
No,
he's
that's
not,
Kurt
okay.
Russell. How dare you?
Maybe I just crossed the Zoom and Sky High wires.
They're very different. One of them's good and the other one is not. But one's got Kate Mara in it, and I usually like her in whatever she's in, but this movie just didn't do any justice for anybody. Anyway, go watch Zoom. It's bad.
I think
I own it on DVD.
I will. Thank you.
So, speaking of movies, I did buy the 5-movie collection of The Scorpion King.
I saw
so
that.
gonna get to those soon. And the good part is, since we watched two, that's the first one chronologically. So now I can just watch one and then go right to three, and it should make perfect sense. So Taylor morphs and attacks Clickman, but then Iggy jumps in, and I wrote Iggy down because I forgot his name was Jindrax, but I did remember that we called him Iggy in the first episode.
We called him Iggy because his human form looked like Iggy from the Mario Brothers movie, and he has not been a human since then.
No, but unfortunately, like a baby duck, Iggy has imprinted in my brain.
That's fair.
Iggy, but also, Iggy Jindrax. Mark Jindrax was in the New Blood in WCW, which I don't think anybody but me remembers.
Nope.
Anyway, coming this October, WCW 2, AEW. I'm actually very excited about it. Taylor starts fighting, but it's against Clickman and Jindrax, and it doesn't go well because it's 2-on-1 and she can only do so much. And then Toxica comes down, and I wrote she comes down sexily. Because that's the only way I can describe how she enters the scene.
I did not notice.
So Jindrax is fighting Taylor, and Clickman is over to the side, and she comes across him, but like definitely puts her arm on his, like, the barrel of his camera parts, I guess.
Yeah. Does she turn a dial or something?
She hits a button.
Okay,
she hits
that's what it is.
The picture taken button.
Yeah.
I went to film school. That's the technical term.
That's a shutter button.
Nope. I'm pretty sure it's the picture taken button, Josh.
You're right.
How dare you?
That's the click button. That's, yeah. That's the click click.
She hits the click click and it does a zoom. And then it takes Taylor's picture. I forget what she says, but it's just a little horny, and it's like, okay, guys, I don't think that's going to stop this season. And then it turns Taylor invisible because it takes her picture, and I guess – I thought they were going to do something with, like, if you get your picture taken, it steals your soul, like that.
It's really weird. It takes a minute.
But it doesn't.
It takes a minute because they take her picture, and then they leave. She was like, oh, man, where are they going?
Beans.
But then she unmorphs, and then she goes invisible.
I thought she started going invisible before she unmorphed.
No,
I think she did.
Yeah, she unmorphs like as she's going invisible. Like it takes the morph away from her.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That would explain why Invisible Power Rangers isn't the monster's undoing.
Right? So then she goes invisible as the others show up and they're like, "No, how could we let this happen?" So then we cut back up to the Animarium.
Well, no, Cole. They all like run over and Cole is like, maybe this is at the Animarium. I can't remember.
I think what you're about to say is at the Animarium.
Okay. Where he's just like, I'm going to get your body back.
Yeah. So they shepherd her upstairs in a blanket. And I assume it's for their benefit so they know where she is and not hers, because she doesn't have the flu. She's just invisible.
Oh, we saw earlier with all the like ambulances and other invisible people that like they have this really cool effect to make a blanket look like it's wrapped around a person when it isn't.
Yeah.
So they want to keep using that.
Right. I don't think it's a great effect. I mean, it works for everybody like laying down on a gurney, but not for Taylor walking around. But at the same time, like, you know, whatever. So then Cole's like, this is my fault. I'm going to get your body back, and then runs away. And first of all, her body is still here. You just can't see it.
Yeah, like they can still just like touch things.
No, her body's gone. That's the power, is that takes your body.
Well, Josh, then how did the blanket stay up?
Magic.
That's not a right answer.
Invisible magic.
Josh, you know how I feel about invisible magic. So he runs off, and despite him being his only rule being teamwork, he just takes off by himself. And even Max is like, what about teamwork? And he's like, fuck you, Max, I'm going downstairs.
Do you want to get fired, Max?
Yeah. I'm your
leader.
Boss now.
I'm the leader, Max.
What does that make Shayla? HR? Like, she's doing a bad job, I think.
Shayla is like the company owner.
District manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't do any actual work.
All of the Power Ranger bosses are district managers.
They just show up to make things worse and harder and then leave.
And she loves Cole for no reason because he sucks, just like a district manager.
You know what? This all makes a lot of sense all of a sudden. I also believe that he is a one-year-old baby district manager. Or team lead. Maybe I shouldn't use those exact words. Store manager.
Cole is the real boss, baby.
So Boss Baby goes downstairs.
I don't know if I want to take that back. I genuinely love that movie.
Josh, it's too late.
Damn it.
So now we get Cole versus Clickman. And Clickman does this thing where he shows a video projection of all the people he's taken pictures of.
That's all the bodies he has collected.
And he has those bodies, but he doesn't. He just has the images of the bodies.
Imagine if he did anything with that.
I thought that he was going to summon up maybe clones of them to fight Cole.
Well, no, nope. If he got to a 1 hour photo before the Ranger fight, maybe he would have.
Oh, but just imagine the situation where he summons a shadow version of Taylor and Cole has to fight Taylor.
And Taylor whips Cole's ass.
Yeah, Shadow Taylor rips his heart out and makes him eat it.
And then teamwork.
And then that's how you win.
And then we get a better Red Ranger for the rest of the season.
Oh boy, I wish. And then Taylor takes the thing and says, "Lion, look at me. Look at me. You and the Eagle need to become one Zord. Congratulations, you're the Griffin, and I'm the Griffin Ranger.
I'm the
now.
Captain now.
I'm the captain now. This is my store."
Four Ranger team.
It you know what? I think they make a lot of sense. And maybe that's just because I love Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. But I think maybe in this season specifically, five is too much.
I think one would work.
Look, I would watch that show.
I like Alyssa. I would sacrifice Alyssa to get a Taylor exclusive season.
Or just have her be like the tech/research person.
Yeah, like she could be like the Oracle, the like Alpha.
She could be the Dr. Fairweather.
Yeah, yes. And then it would be Kamen Rider, Eagle Rider, Taylor, and her trusty assistant, who actually is the only other good character, Alyssa. And I guess Princess Shayla can show up to be like, "The pool squirted, do you want to go deal with that?" And that's it.
Does someone have a mop?
And Alyssa could be like a distant descendant of Princess Shayla in a way that only makes sense in Power Rangers.
Yes. Well, they don't look the same, Josh, so I don't understand.
You're right. They're not exactly the same person.
So enough fantasy booking a better show. We got to talk about this one. So he's like, "I got all their bodies on my SD card. I'm gonna get their life energy eventually." Like, it's eventually.
He's an analog camera. He uses a roll of film. He keeps it in that bone pocket on his hip.
Speaking of this film cartridge, it looks like a fruit snack. Like, if you're gonna bite into it and some juice is gonna squirt out.
It does. My first thought when I saw it was, you know the grenade launcher in Resident Evil? It looks like the thing, the ammo cartridges for the grenades, but I think it is more like a Power Rangers fruit snack than that. I don't like the term bone pocket, though. That just...
That's what it is.
You're right, but bones are not flexible enough to be a pocket.
Well, I guess it's more of a bone cabinet.
If it's two bones with a joint...
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a cabinet.
It's a bone cabinet.
A camera made of bones.
Ooh, they are organic, it turns out. So, but they don't have hearts. But they got bone pockets. So Cole hides because he is not doing well in this fight. So he hides behind like some boxes, and we go to commercial and we come back. And then we flash back to a minute ago when Cole's like, "I'm going to get your body back," and then runs. Why?
Because kids forgot during the commercial break.
I don't think they did. I mean, maybe the cool was this 2002. Maybe the cool skateboard commercial? What was in 2002? I could name 990s commercials right now. I could not name a single thing.
Puppy Racers? Was Puppy Racers then?
Puppy, was that the little zoomie things?
Yeah, you just smash a button a bunch and then a puppy runs down a track to collect a ball.
Okay.
Flash games were hot in 2002.
Go to Newgrounds.com.
Their e-bombs world.
I know Newgrounds is still a website. I genuinely don't know if E-Bombs World is still a website, and I'm worried that I've said it enough times that it has become a phylactery and that the website will come back.
Addicting Games was also a big one.
I remember playing a lot of games on addictinggames.com.
Armor Games was the one that I remember.
Was there like logo an ant?
No, it was like a shield with crossed swords.
Ah, that makes more sense. Camera Clickman takes a picture of the boxes and turns the boxes invisible.
He takes their body.
He takes the box's body.
They're still there though, right?
Yeah. They are.
If his power is consistent, he can see.
Well, I mean, that's a big if.
He can see Cole because like they're invisible. But they still are technically cover because they're still physical, they're just clear.
Yes, yeah, but because he can see Cole now, he can take a picture of Cole.
Aha, that's a good point.
Yes.
I was going to say it's because now his cover's blown. He clearly knew where he was anyway. Okay. He only took the one picture.
I'm going to regret asking this question.
Okay.
What happens if Clickman takes a picture of something he's taken a picture of?
Well, it's invisible, so we couldn't see it, so it would just take a picture of Cole.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Yeah, invisibility does not show up on camera, as far as we know.
don't you tell the ghost hunters that.
I'm so worried about invisible stuff on this show now that I can't wait for them to start taking pictures of invisible things.
So my question here is, even if Cole had his picture taken, he's not morphed yet. His plan that he's already formulated does not involve him being morphed.
Nope. And it does have like a little bit of leeway. So like if it took his, I mean, again, he's still just as effective a fighter invisible. In fact, he'd be more effective.
Especially because his next plan is become Donkey Kong.
So Cole starts taunting him. He's like, "What'd you run out of film?" So he knows about cameras, even though he grew up in the jungle. Whatever. The other three show up. Taylor does not. She is bedridden with invisibility upstairs. She's got the consumption and she can't come out to play. They're like, Cole, wait. But then Toxica shows up. Toxica and Jindrak show up with the Nutties, and then they start fighting the other Rangers. So it's just Cole staring down Clickman and like posturing at him. And then I had a lapse of time and space from this episode. Does Clickman take a picture very slowly, or did I imagine that?
I think you imagined that, because what I remember is they are like in that whatever warehouse or wherever they're at.
Yeah.
And Cole like leads him farther into it, and he can't take a picture because there's not good light in there.
Okay, that makes... I could have sworn that he's...
Because the other Rangers, I think, show up in a minute, and he's... Or maybe we just see him, I can't remember. But he's definitely just like, I need better light for like 1 second. It's just like a quick cut of him.
Okay.
Yeah, does he have a flashbulb on him?
I don't think
he does, because he's got a weird growth where it should be.
Does he have a bone bulb anywhere? Oh.
Ooh, that one's bad.
You did this, Josh. You brought this on us. So, because I could have sworn that, like, eventually there's a standoff where Cole is staring at Clickman, and then he starts running at him. And I could have sworn Clickman took a picture, but because Cole is running, the picture went off slowly. Maybe I'm making that up, and I'm trying to justify this somehow.
That might have happened. I definitely remember Cole running at him.
Yeah. Cassie, why don't you take us through this little bit then?
Well, my notes for the section is literally just time to play some Donkey Kong. But I think if there was a slow motion, it may have just been like his hand going to press the button.
Okay, maybe.
I remember Cole grabs onto a chain and swings up a thing.
he grabs a chain that's just hanging, because you know how warehouses just got chains all over the place.
Well, yeah, of course. If
anything has taught me anything, it's that warehouses are full of chains.
Yeah, of course. So he grabs it and he swings up a story and a half onto a big scaffold that has a bunch of barrels on it and kicks the barrels onto Clickman. And I don't think he had the room to do that, but that's really the least of my worries at this point. And so he Donkey Kongs a bunch of barrels onto Clickman, who then is just, like, I guess, completely incapacitated long enough for Cole to morph.
Isn't this, I think this might be where, like, his film cartridge flies out of his body or something.
Is it from the barrels, or does Cole, like, kick him or something?
I
feel like Cole hit the film out, but maybe it just popped out from the barrels.
One of the barrels landed on the eject button.
Yeah. And so it launches the gusher film canister out, and Cole picks it up and exposes it to the light, which
destroys it,
which is how you ruin film, because it's photosensitive, meaning light sensitive. So then,
so now all their bodies are lost.
Yeah, he killed everyone.
Right, that's what I that's what would happen, is that now the bodies are destroyed. But maybe it's just now since the negative is destroyed, you can't take the picture's life force.
The light that reflected off of their bodies is no longer stored on the film.
Right. So it had to go back to their bodies.
Yeah.
Sure. Look, I'll buy that over Cole accidentally kills a bunch of people, including Taylor. My beautiful wife.
They wouldn't be dead. They would just be invisible.
They're just invisible.
You're right. They're invisible and useless.
Who do you think you are, a doctor?
You're right. I am no picture doctor. I'm a picture bachelor, technically. We cut everyone's bag. Everyone gets their bodies back. Air quotes. And we cut back up to Taylor. And she looks just past the camera very dramatically and goes, "He did it." And I just hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like that the moral of this story is that Cole is good and better and that Taylor should just shut up and learn her place.
Yeah.
Teamwork is good, but only if you're not the chosen one or something.
Teamwork is good as long as you follow Cole's orders and lead.
Teamwork is a great concept, but you don't actually need it.
Well, and then, because the next thing that happens is Taylor jumps down, morphed, and lands next to Cole and goes, "What happened to teamwork, Mr. No Rules," or something.
One Rule.
And he says, "Mr. One Rule." You know that, like, no fear, and then a shirt, and then one fear. It's no rules, and then teamwork, and then one rule. If I could make an image the episode title, it would be that. So, but she's like, what happened to teamwork, Mr. No Rules? And he says, "Sometimes rules can be broken to save a friend." Fucking what, Cole?
I hate Cole. I hate him so much.
What does this even mean? So your one rule was teamwork, and you broke that rule to save your friend who was fine, technically just invisible. But it's okay to break the rules, even though you said there shouldn't be any rules but one. I don't know where you land on rules, Cole.
I was starting to wonder where this show is trying to get me to land on Taylor, because I feel like they want me to think she's wrong.
Yeah.
And I physically cannot, because I know exactly what she's feeling.
Yeah. Maybe as a kid. Like when you're a kid, like, rules are bad. Rules mean bedtime, that you can't eat pizza every meal. Yeah, right.
Listen,
like,
to your superior. Sometimes people are just gonna be told that they're better than you.
But well, no, not even that. Like as a kid, like, rules are like teachers and parents and like and bedtimes and eat your vegetables, right? Like, that's rules.
Right.
So, like, as a kid, like, that's bad, because you just want to eat Pixie Sticks for dinner or whatever, and you want to stay up until 10:30 so you can watch Gargoyles on Disney late at night
when it's extra spooky.
But you gotta go to bed. Well, that's the only time Gargoyles can come out, Josh. They're stoned during the day. Duh.
You're
you, right. Idiot.
How dare I? I'm so sorry.
So, like, maybe as, like, a kid, it's like, yeah, rules is bad. But, like, as an adult, I'm like, no, because Taylor's rules, we don't know what they are. They could be, like, don't be a dick, respect your teammates, listen to what they think. And then Cole's and me, like, too many rules. I'm the boss now. I'm the new ETL of this store. And you got to do what I say, even though I'm a one-year-old baby man. And that's not cool. When you're an adult, Cole sucks. Yep. Oh, I'm so mad. Then they do a roll call, and they end with "United We Roar," which I like. I think, like, not like phonetically, but like it sounds good. Like, I feel like it sounds and feels like a good thing to say, but it definitely feels like a response to 9/11, because this was 2002 when this was made.
Oh yeah,
it definitely feels like a hey, we got to make everything just a little bit more American if we can. So then they attack. And then now Cameron Clickman has the powers of the short film The Projectionist that my friend Andy wrote, where he can just control film from his hands and tie up Power Rangers. The Power Rangers part was not an Andy script. That's a Clickman exclusive.
Oh, that's a shame. That's why I've never heard of it.
I mean, I don't want to disparage Andy's very dumb idea, because it was a very Andy Bjorklund idea, but it was also a very Andy Bjorklund idea. And so, like, it made a lot of sense to him, and I'm sure if it was made, it would be fine. But just, when he told you about it, it's just like, Andy, this is a lot of things happening at once, and I don't know what to tell you. This is the same guy who wrote a script where a guy went around and everybody was balloons all of a sudden, and then it turns out that the balloons were actually people, and he was actually a refrigerator. So, I love Andy, and he's worked on a ton of movies, and he's doing great, and so I'm very happy for him. Proud of you, buddy, but those two scripts that you wrote were really weird, man. Anyway, so the lion yells at Cole's jellies, and he's like, don't give up, even though you're tied up in film.
This pissed me off, too, because Cole shouldn't have to be told not to give up. He's the red fucking ranger.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, film is a very, like, you can't really tear it very well. Like, it's a very hard, like, you know, durable substance. Like, I understand why they're, like, wrapped up. But then the lion's like, hey, man, get it. He's like, yeah, you're right, lion.
Because Cole,
but
yeah,
this
he's
means
late.
That the lion is the leader, not Cole.
Yeah.
That was the lion's plan the whole time.
Yeah. I need to choose a baby so that I can be the leader.
So he's just a puppet king.
Yes. Yeah, because Cole's laying there tied up in film, just like, oh, man, I can't get out of this.
Beans.
I guess I have to quit. I guess this is it for Cole.
This is it for me.
What a year.
To be fair, he accomplished a lot in a year for a baby. He got tall. He can read. He knows what cameras are.
He went on a raft adventure.
Right? That's pretty exciting. The lion's like, use your cool lion hand. And so his hand turns into the lion gauntlet, which I thought was just like a gauntlet to help with punches, but turns out it's also a lot of guns.
Yeah.
It's got a Gatling mode and another gun mode. We never saw it work just regular, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Maybe in the first episode, they pulled him out in the first episode because they're about to do a salad slash or salad strike or whatever. And they do that. And Toxica beanstalks him, beanstalks Clickman, and he gets big. And then they call the Zords, and then I thought the Zords were all going to attack individually, but it's just the Eagle and the Lion because this is an episode about them and teamwork. And I want everyone just to remember that the only teamwork that matters currently is Cole's teamwork. It's just his. It's only when he does teamwork.
Cole does teamwork, and Taylor tells him to do it.
and Taylor, like, pats him on the back.
Because we get up into the Zord, and it's just a Zord fight.
Yeah, right? I still don't like their, like, jet ski, their lava jet ski mode. I still don't understand what the purpose of that is.
It's extreme, like, everything in 2002.
You're right, it is pretty X Games.
X Games were hot, so.
Yeah, I don't like how they just sort of absorb into the head.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That is
because everything
weird.
Else is natural. And this is, like, very alien looking.
Yeah.
So, I also don't like, we talked about it last episode, I don't like their little pulpit where they have these weird, like, Guyver stands that they put their swords on and then just touch, and they're like, this is how we control it, on a little jet ski handle.
Yeah.
A lot of jet ski imagery going on this season.
So, yeah, they fight him. He's big, and he's like, I'm going to wrap you up in my film again, and then they kill him. But right before they kill him, Taylor turns to Cole. The other three don't say anything, I don't think, for the rest of this entire episode.
No, they are persona non grata.
Because Taylor turns to Cole and is like, I know you don't like violence, but what should we do? And he's like, kill it with a big rainbow blast.
This is a reference to last episode, where his first instinct was to try to talk to the Org.
Yeah, it's just, it's really weird that they tried to build Cole up as like this moral character to immediately disassemble that.
Yeah, and they did that last episode already. Yeah. Like, last episode was like, violence isn't the way, and then he learns that, yes, violence is the only way, and then this, maybe it's just Taylor taunting him. Maybe it's him, her being like, I know you don't like fighting because you tried to talk to a barbed wire man last time.
I mean, her physical, like, the suit actor for the Sentai footage has a very stiff expression in a way that almost feels taunting.
Okay, yeah, then I guess that's got to be it. It's like, I know you don't like violence. And he's like, oh, I learned my lesson.
I learned my lesson. We will melt it.
We're going to use our murder on it. So then they kill it, and then Taylor says, nice teamwork, Cole. Everybody else, rest of you, take the day off. You don't matter. Cole did a good teamwork.
He didn't do a teamwork, because the team didn't do anything.
But it's a Zord. It's inherently teamwork, Josh. But
no, I don't think that's true. You don't get to put a Zord together and then shoot somebody with it and say the team did it.
Especially if they don't get to talk at all. If they don't even go right or yeah, like, then that doesn't count as teamwork. So then we cut to later, Taylor and Cole talk, and he's like, I admire your confidence. And she's like, then that's what you can use for me? Or I forget what she says, but it was deeply upsetting.
Yeah, she's like, you can use my confidence for your leader team or something. It's really weird.
For your teamwork. It's like, and my confidence. And maybe she meant to say competence.
Oh, no, I think she
didn't want to hurt his feelings.
If you remember way back at the beginning of the episode, he's like, we can use Danny's muscles and Alyssa's brains. And I think Taylor's like, we can use my confidence.
Okay. I don't like the way it's worded still.
Yeah, because she's like, I like your confidence. That's what you can use for your teamwork. Okay. I don't think those two statements really relate to each other the way you want them to.
Nah.
Plus, like, I feel like the moral at the end of this, since they were kept butting heads, there should have been, like, a compromise or something at the end. But no, it's still just like, no, too many rules.
Yeah. And like, too many rules, and Taylor just like shut up and learn your place. And your place is not leader anymore, and you need to get used to that. And then at the end, she's like, leader, and that's bullshit.
Yeah. We needed, I think, 20 more episodes at least of her not being happy about this.
If maybe, and this is a big maybe if Cole had done teamwork to start with,
if he had led anybody in any way,
then, but like, literally it was like Cole does a fight, he runs off by himself, and even Max is like, what about teamwork? And he's like, no. And he runs off by himself, and then he beats the monster by himself because they're distracted with the nutties, and he frees them by himself. There's zero teamwork until Taylor shows up and goes, what about teamwork? And he goes, we don't need rules if I don't want them.
How about zero rules?
I hate this. And then Shayla's like, I knew you would make a great team. And I don't think they do, Shayla, actually.
Yeah, I think she's wrong.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode.
Also, Shayla was starting to bother me in this episode because she's like excessively quietly positive. She talks in that like weird whisper optimism. And she blinks a lot. She just is really blinky.
Oh, Josh, you just shattered the glass. I'm never going to be able to not see it when she does that. I think my big problem with Shayla currently is that I don't understand
why she's here.
Like, she's not like a mentor as much as she is like the last remnants of Animaria. And I don't know what the function of her is quite yet.
So far, she can tell you when the pond is squirting.
Well, the pond tells you that too, is the problem.
Yeah, but none of them seem to see it until she says it.
Well, it's her bed, so who knows? True. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Cassidy, you are our guest, so you get to go first. What's the best? Please take as long as you want. I literally don't know what I'm going to say.
I'm going to say Quick Man being at least consistent with his invisibility powers.
That was very appreciated, because I got very nervous. I got, like, the sweats when people started going invisible. Josh, what's your worst, or your best? What's your best?
My best is the Animarium leaving a turtle crater that is now a lake that the town is named after. That's my best for this episode.
I think I'm going to have to say that too, because at least the lore, and they, like, the best part about that is they didn't come out and say, like, and it left a turtle shape and that's why it's Turtle Cove.
Yeah, they were like, just like, look, here's a turtle. If you miss it, tough.
Like, because I missed it the first episode and the second episode until you pointed it out. So, like, I'm going to say the best is that Turtle Cove is because the big turtle left a big lake and they built a town on it. Cassidy, what's the worst?
Well, I just got the quarterly reports and Cole, I gotta say, your numbers aren't good, man. I get that you want to embody the slogan of the Outback Steakhouse, but you're going a little too far.
Yeah, Cole's the worst. Josh, what's your...
I feel like the point is going to go to Cole, but to get, like, specifically on what I think is the worst is that the anti-theme of the episode is teamwork.
Yeah. I'm just going to say...
This is... Not to cut you off, but this is two episodes in a row now where, like, the moral that they're trying to teach, they immediately subvert.
Yeah. Last episode, at least, it was like a cause and effect thing. It was like, we want to do this, but then the bad guys are like, no, we don't have hearts, so we can't be good. And so then they're like, well, I guess talking to them isn't the answer. Violence is. At least it was like an A to B to C. This one's like teamwork, except we're never going to use it again.
Yeah, teamwork is just a poster we hang in the break room. You don't have to actually listen to it.
I'm just going to say Cole's the worst because I'm just so frustrated with every single thing. And the worst part is he's not a terrible actor. I wish he was worse at acting, because he's not, like, bad. He's just, like, the character kind of sucks and you can only do so much with that. But, like, I think if he was, like, also a bad actor, then I'd be like, well, at least the whole thing is bad. But I'm like, he could be doing more.
Yeah.
So, Cassidy, who's the MVP?
I'm going to give it to those five Crusader ninjas and their sixth magic friend. They stopped the evil for 3,000 years.
That's a good point.
That's true.
Josh?
I'm going to agree with that because nobody else really did anything.
I was going to say Taylor for, like, being correct, but then at the end she's like, I guess you're right and I'm just a girl. What do I know? So I don't like that at all. But yeah, the Crusaders, what seems like within 10 minutes, defeated all the orcs and sent a big turtle to space. So
yeah. I don't think it gets better than that.
Crusaders and their plus one. All right. Awesome. Any final thoughts, Cassidy?
Just that this entire time I've been wanting to call Cole either Clark or Cleo.
He's very Cleo.
He could be, like, a Cleo, I think.
This whole time I was thinking, like, did we finally get someone worse than Leo? And I think, I mean, we'll find out by the end of the season, but currently, yeah.
I mean, Leo's whole name is in there if you change some letters around.
Yep, I don't know where to go from there. Josh, you got any final thoughts?
No, I hate it.
Same. I'm worried that actually Wild Force is gonna, it's gonna feel like I'm at work again the whole time.
Yeah, because, like, I know I give Turbo a lot of guff because
but Turbo was at least weird.
Because
dumb,
a lot of Turbo is
bad,
is, like, stupid and dumb, but it's also, like, fun about it.
Yeah, and this, especially after the halfway. Maybe we just got to get through halfway of the season.
Maybe. But this one so far is really stupid. And it's always like, look at how cool Cole is. But Cole's not cool. Cole sucks. And so it's really hard.
Yep. But he's like a free spirit. He's like freewheeling. He came from the jungle. He's a one-year-old baby. You got to love him.
I know. I hate him.
That's entirely fair. So that's going to do it before we get out of here, though. Cassidy, where can people find you and your projects online?
You can find me personally on Twitter at madlobotanist. That's MadLobotanist. I have to hold myself back from just plowing through it like I do on my own shows now.
I do the same thing when I guest on people's shows.
That's where you can find most of my stuff. I have three podcasts that aren't for those. Yeah, just three podcasts. It's Kids and Their Dog, a Scooby-Doo movie review and recap podcast, where we just, it's what it says on the tin. We watch Scooby-Doo movies and talk about them. The new episode of that should have came out a couple of weeks ago by the time this goes up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a podcast with Charlie. It's Precure Podcast Engage. It is a recap podcast of the entire Pretty Cure franchise and also occasionally Ben 10.
I saw that, and as soon as I can get my iPod to go to the iTunes store again, I think I need to update it. I'm definitely going to check out that, because that's a great idea, going from one magical girl show to maybe the only magical boy show that I know about.
I would count Danny Phantom as a magical boy show, too.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah.
I also do another podcast with Charlie and Crash. That is Hey, Let's Talk About It. It comes out whenever. It's just a podcast where we talk about stuff. And then the reason I wanted to be on this episode is because of Synergy, for something that I was hoping to have out by now, but it might be out by the time it comes up. I'm going to finally post a demo for the game I've been working on for a while, a game where I'm not going to say much, but you're in a vehicle taking pictures of creatures.
Okay. I like that. I like that kind of game. I can, if you want me to give you a deadline, which is a weird way to do this, this episode is going to go out on the 12th of August. So you got 2 weeks.
Yeah, it should be up by then. Just go to the Twitter. You'll see it. It'll probably be a pinned tweet by then.
I'm very excited because I enjoyed both of your other games. Well, two of your other games. I don't know if you've made more.
I made a game before I did any of the Sequinox things.
Yeah, I played both the Sequinox ones.
It was like a mobile clicker game, because I got mad about Magikarp Jump being like, I saw what the code of Magikarp Jump, I saw my third eye opened and I realized that your Magikarp will not actually get any better unless you level up. And I was like, well, what if I made it so you had at least some say in doing better,
in getting better? Yeah, okay.
But it really just amounts to tapping on your phone screen, and when you put it on your phone instead of a computer, it's a lot easier.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so it's madlobotanist, like my Twitter handle, .itch.io. You'll find that, the two Sequinox games, and then a couple of demo things that I put up there. One of them was a demo for the Sequinox kart racer.
I cannot tell you how happy there just being a kart racer of Sequinox made me, because I have an unironic love of kart racers. All right, awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I had a lot of fun. Talking about Saliva's Power Rangers endeavor.
What a weird music video this was.
It was long, yeah. And I think bad.
There was only one song and it wasn't very good.
And it didn't sound wet at all. I didn't think Batista was going to be walking alone around here even a little bit.
Nothing resembled a pit of danger.
I think I've exhausted all of my Saliva references at this point. But thank you very much for coming on, Cassidy. Josh, you still have the thing pulled up, right?
Probably.
Yeah, you want to just see what we're doing next time?
Next time is Never Give Up.
I really hope... Oh, sorry, hold on. I didn't hear what you said because I was yelling. I really hope it's a Godsmack parody.
It's called Never Give Up.
Close enough.
With an exclamation point.
I've listened to a lot of Godsmack. I don't recognize that as anything...
No. Are you sure it's not called Voodoo?
I mean...
Or the Scorpion King or song. Or
Voodoo 2.
They made a sequel to Voodoo?
Yes, they did.
What? As soon as we're done looking that up. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, everybody. I got a Godsmack song to listen to in the year of our Lord 2019. We'll see you on Friday for Never Give Up. But until then,
may the power protect you.
A nice tight sink. That's what I like. That's what I like to hear.
Don't want a drip leaky sink.
Don't want a leaky sink.
Don't want a leaky sink.